Yes, as has been said, we stand on the brink of a new year. Are you ready for 2025? If you said no or not sure, guess what? Unless Jesus comes, it's coming anyway. So get ready if you're not. It'll be here just exactly this week. And what a blessing it is that God gives us this wonderful time to be able to renew, as Matt shared, and to look ahead to doing better in all aspects of our lives, and certainly so having a closer relationship with our Creator and with our Savior. So are you making any New Year's resolutions? Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Perhaps the same is true of you. You may have made some already. You may be doing that in the next few days. I love this little story. This man writes, "My six-year-old son seems to demand my attention just when I am most busy around the house. My standard reply has been, 'I'm busy right now, go ask your mother.' The disappointed look often on his face as I sent him away convinced me to change my priorities. I resolved to give him my immediate attention whenever he asked. My resolve was quickly tested. I had just climbed to the top of our two-story house, paintbrush and bucket in hand. As I dipped my brush into the paint, I heard his little voice call below, 'Daddy, Daddy.' Determined to keep my new resolution, I immediately laid paintbrush and bucket aside and climbed back down to the ground to see what he wanted. I got down on both knees, looked him straight in the face, and asked, 'Well, now, what can I do for you, son?' His reply, 'Daddy, where's mommy?' Well, that may have been less than what he was hoping for or expecting. Still a great idea to do that, however. However it works out, of course. But the new year is upon us. As Matt said, a time of hope and reflection and renewal. Three great things to remember from today: hope, reflection, and renewal. As Michael shared during our communion time, it's an opportunity to get back to what's really important. In our Bible class this morning across the parking lot, we discussed important versus urgent, and those are not the same. And trying to figure out which ones are important is the key, and then being committed to actually doing that. Sometimes the important things may not be as urgent as some of the other things, and it takes some deliberate planning and specific action on purpose to be committed to doing the important things, to be able to continue to consider what is important. I love the statement in one of Stephen Covey's Seven Habits of Effective Living: begin with the end in mind. I always like to think about this on the first part of the year. As you think about where you will be a year from now, what will you have hoped to have accomplished this year? How will you have hoped to have grown? What are some of the good things and important things that you will have hoped to have done? And then begin with the end in mind. Begin doing today and this week and this month and each week of this year to do those things that will get you there, that will lead you down that path towards those things that are truly important. Are you ready for 2025? Last Sunday, we spoke of the message. And the message is Jesus. As we considered the wonderful stories surrounding his birth, his coming to this earth, God becoming flesh in the form of a little baby boy, we realized that the message is Jesus. That is the message. That's the message we need to hear. That's the message our world needs to hear. Jesus is the message. But today we shift from speaking about the message to speaking about the mission. If Jesus is the message, then what is the mission? And I really just have two ways of expressing that mission today. What is your mission for 2025? First of all, we are the mission. If Jesus is the message, we are the mission. When you think about why he came, what he came to do, what he came to accomplish, it's us. We are the mission. As Jesus left the throne room with the Father and came in that very humble birth and lived in this world and gave his life on the cross, it was for us. It was for you, my friend, and it was for me, because we're sinners. We are the mission. Scripture brings that out in a couple of different ways. First of all, in Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Who did he tell that to? He told that to everyone, just as John the Baptist had done earlier. And then Herod put him in prison. Jesus and his disciples had the same message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of heaven is here. And then Jesus continues on in verses 35 through 39. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. What an amazing thing. Talk about the important things. The Son of God himself made sure that in his day he had some time set aside to communicate with the Father. As I've said so many times before, the most important two words that express how critical it is for us to pray are these: Jesus prayed. Verse 36 of Mark 1, Simon and his companions went to look for him, Simon Peter, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Jesus spent that time in the important work of praying. But when it was done, he got up and he said, "Look, we're not just here for these people. I'm here for everyone. He's here for you and for me. He's here for us. We are the mission." That's why Jesus came and lived and taught and died. And throughout the years of his ministry here, he went everywhere preaching that same message, that he was there to give life. To give life to us by giving his own life. But it wasn't just for the big crowds. It was also at times for just one individual. And we see that in Mark chapter 5. When Jesus went to the other side of the lake from where he was, Jesus got out of the boat, Mark 5, verse 2, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. He was in the cemetery. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. This is the kind of person that you and I would gladly stay away from. And that's how the Jews looked at him as well. And I have a feeling that's how Jesus' disciples looked at him. Mark 5, verse 6, when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Obviously, he was possessed by demons that recognized who Jesus was and what he could do, that had caused him to live this way. Verse 9, then Jesus asked him, what is your name? My name is Legion, he replied, for we are many. And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them. He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. Now, I would have been with that group. Verse 15, when they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. And they were overjoyed, worshiping the great miracle that they had just seen. No, they were afraid, just as they had been afraid of him when he lived in the cemetery and he cut himself with stones and he chased everyone out. Now they were afraid of him because they saw the power that had healed him. Verse 16, those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. When you really see a glimpse of the power of God, it's a little bit scary. That's why it seems like whenever an angel appears or Jesus himself in his resurrected form appeared, one of the first things, if not the very first thing they say is what? Be not afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. And once they brought me back to consciousness, I maybe wouldn't have been, but I would have fainted first. Jesus scared these people with his power. But he came with a mission. And that man, that day, was his mission. Yes, he preached to the crowds. But this man was his mission. And I'm here today to tell you, you are his mission. You are the mission. And if you were the only person that had ever lived and sinned, Jesus would still have come. He still would have given his life. And he still would have sought out you. Because we are the mission. Jesus makes that clear in other places, such as Luke 19. I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. I've come to give life, John 10 says, and give it to the full. I've come to give my life. We are the mission. But secondly, we are the missionaries. In Scripture, in the New Testament, the ones who are the missionaries are the ones who have already been the mission. They're the ones who have already been blessed that go out to bless others. They're the ones that have already been saved and forgiven that go out to share the gospel message of salvation and forgiveness. And if we, too, are the mission, then we, too, are the missionaries. Both of the scripture passages that we have looked at this morning bring that to our minds. In Mark 1, verses 16 and following, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother, John, in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. They had been the mission. They had been part of the ones that Jesus was out there proclaiming the message of repentance and the nearness of the kingdom of heaven. And now they are the missionaries. Now he's telling them, don't just sit there and bask in this wonderful message that you have received. I'm sending you out to share that message with other people. We are the mission, but we also are the missionaries. As we sang earlier, Jesus says, "My feet were also weary upon the Calvary road. The cross became so heavy, I fell beneath the load. Be faithful, weary pilgrim, the morning I can see. Just lift your cross and follow close to me." Don't settle for just being the mission. Remember, we are the missionaries. We are the ones who have received that saving grace, and we are the ones who have been now commissioned, just as those early disciples were, to follow Jesus, to fish for people, to share the message of the gospel. What about our friend who had been healed in Mark chapter 5? That man who had the legion of demons inside of him, who scared everybody when he was demon-possessed and scared them more when he was healed. What about him? We expect when Jesus tells him, "Hey, you come and follow me," that he would jump up and be the first to raise his hand and go. And that probably would have been exactly the case. But that's not what Jesus meant for him and his mission. Mark 5, verse 18, "As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, 'Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you.' So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed." You notice that the man doesn't sit there and whine and say, "No, Jesus, I want to go with you." That's the cool place. That's, you know, that's where all the CNN cameras are going to be, right there with you. Not here with me in this town of nobodies. "I want to go with you." And Jesus tells him this in a sense, "I want you to go with me too. But I want you to go with me to your home, to your villages, to the people who know you, to the people who know your story, to the people who have seen you at your worst and most humiliating and most embarrassing. I want you to go and tell them what God has done for you. And how in spite of all of that, he has given you life, and he has given you a mission to not just receive that healing, but now to go and tell about it." We've sung today about the Great Commission. Jesus telling us to go and make disciples, as Matthew 28 puts it, as Luke puts it in Acts 1 verse 8, to be witnesses of everything that we have seen and heard, as the early church practiced when persecution forced them out of Jerusalem, finally, in Acts 8. And they went everywhere doing what? Preaching the word. They went everywhere being missionaries. Whatever they were doing, whatever jobs they had, whatever families they had, wherever they ended up living, they were sharing the message. They were the missionaries. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 that we have been reconciled to God. And so because of that, God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And so it's not enough for us just to bask in the beauty and the peace that comes from being reconciled finally to God in spite of our sins because of the act of Christ in our lives. Because of him taking on us as his mission. But rather, he now calls us to be ambassadors for Christ, to be ministers ourselves of reconciliation, reconciling others to this same God who did so much for us. Imploring them, be reconciled to God. Freely, freely you have received. Freely, freely sit on your hands and hope and pray that some good soul tells them sometime about Jesus. Right? Kind of awkward to write a song like that. The lyrics don't quite fit. They don't fit with the scripture either. freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. We must remember those who are spiritually destitute, as Michael shared, and share with them that same message, Jesus, that we have received, because Jesus is the message. And that's the message they need to hear. You say, but Bill, I don't know what to say. I don't know where the scriptures are. Okay, well, you can work on that and study on that maybe. But what you can do right now is you can tell your story. Just like that man in Mark 5 could tell his story. Just like those disciples that Jesus called to follow him could tell their story. The Apostle Paul did just exactly that later on during his ministry. Jesus is the message, and we are the mission. He came for us. He died for you. His blood was shed for you. The life was taken out of his body for you. And if you have now been baptized into Christ and have become his disciple, then you have received that salvation. But you haven't just received that salvation. You have also received that mission, that calling. Yes, you are the mission. We are the mission, but we are also the missionaries. We are the ones who are given that message to share. And what a great blessing it would be for us to see 2025 as the year where you reach out to the people in your circle. Maybe non-verbally at first. Maybe just being that good example and model around them. Maybe moving the conversation at appropriate times towards Jesus, towards church, towards the Word, the Scripture, towards salvation, towards how much Jesus means to you. And maybe sometime or another you'll be able to actually tell them how that happened. Your story. Before you knew Jesus, how you became a Christian yourself, and now how Jesus has been with you ever since. Jesus is the message. We are the mission. We are the missionaries. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go. If that's your desire today and we can help with that, come as we stand, sing this great song together.